Ramsey TV.
Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, trying to make the lighting as interesting as possible here in Phoenix, Arizona. That's right, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you why in a second. Yeah. Well, about a month and a half ago, my son Luke, who lives in New York City, decided that he and his wife, she's a Chinese girl, sweet as could be, her name's Mushroom. That's right, I said Mushroom. They decided that they were going to go on a little whirlwind trip. They wanted to fly to Phoenix, Arizona. Listen to this. They wanted to fly to Phoenix, Arizona, drive to Yellowstone National Park. But there's a big canyon in the way between Phoenix and Yellowstone, so they want to see the Grand Canyon. So they asked me if I wanted to join them. I mean, it's a great thing when your kids want you to be with them. That's a great thing. If you wonder what the secret of that is, let me tell you what the secret is. You live your own life. You live your life. And then your kids are like, I wonder what they're doing. Wonder what dad's doing. Wonder what mom's doing. Well, they see that's the opposite of always trying to impose yourself into their life. Just do interesting things. Yes. Then they wonder, what's that old man up to? He's kind of scary. All right, I'm going to make this short because I'm going to do a different thing today. Now, yesterday, Rodney and I published part 6 of the Sin series called it's called Justification versus Pardon. This is a very important subject. Here's how important it is. I made an intro to that audio. To that video. Remember, I make the audios 25 years ago. Rodney puts videos to them. They come to new life. People have never heard the truth. Get it? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this truth is so important. So I made a video because it was a very dramatic time at that conference. It was in Berkeley, Michigan, suburb of Detroit. It was in April or May, or maybe March, I don't know, of 1996, and so there was drama attached to it. This was the time when I confronted the Israel church, and a woman heard her evangel for the first time. Anyway, I'm going to be talking about that and what is coming. I'm afraid, this is what I'm afraid. I'm afraid that when people see that part 6 and see that it's an hour and 13 minutes long, they're going to go, what? We can't invest the time necessary in this, even though it's life-changing truth. Yeah, there are people like that. I can't believe it, but there are. So to avoid that, I want to make this video a short video. And I'm going to attach the introduction I put to yesterday's video. So those of you who have already seen yesterday's video, what is about to happen here as I sign off from Phoenix and start a drive north, what is about to happen here is you are going to see that again. So I'm sorry about that. But this is new, right? This is new. So I do that for the sake of people who can't tackle an hour 13-minute video. But when they hear me right now, I hope, and when they hear the introduction to yesterday's video that's coming, why, it's gonna be the golden combination. So I ask you, to those listening maybe for the first time, do you feel guilty before God? Do you wonder whether God likes you? Are you confused by those statements by Jesus Christ in the scripture that says, if you don't forgive men their offenses, then neither will your heavenly Father forgive your offenses? Have you read that and thought, oh my God, my good standing with God is on probation. It's iffy. It's shaky. I have to extend that pardon to other people or God will not keep my pardon in place. And if I die, I'll go to hell. Folks, this is in the Bible. But then you read something from Paul that says we are justified, that is pronounced not guilty, and it comes by grace, not according to works. And so you're confused, you're puzzled, and people don't know what to do. So they just say, I'm going to the bar. I'm going to drink my way out of this conundrum with some Puerto Rican rum. This is not Puerto Rican rum, by the way. This is coffee. Anyway. This is not the Puerto Rican rum. No, no, this is coffee. Anyway, that's the dilemma many of you have faced. The key is there's a different, two different Gospels in the New Testament. Two different Gospels in the New Testament. The Gospel to Israel and the Gospel to the nations. And they are as different as can be. I'm going to leave it right there for now. I have many other videos. Look up Martin Zender, God's Plans in a Nutshell. That's another video that Rodney helped make with an audio I made 25 years ago. It's called God's Plans in a Nutshell. It will explain to you why there are two Gospels. It will explain to you the difference between the two Gospels. All right? All right, I've done enough. The kids are waiting for me in the rental car. I got to zip up north. Don't know where I'm going today. Hopefully it won't die in the Grand Canyon. It is very possible. Some people do die in the Grand Canyon. Anyway, so what's going to follow here, I'm going to just segue from this to the introduction I made in Fort Lauderdale 3 days ago to the video called Part 6, Justification versus Pardon. I hope all of this, or I'd be happy if some of it made sense to you. I think it made sense as I was listening to it. So I sign off for now, and I will join you from who knows where. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I don't often put an introduction in, a video introduction to these messages recorded 25 years ago and brought to you by our friend Rodney Paris in Texas. Taking 25-year-old cassette tapes that have been in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio for over 10 years and then making them available to a new audience, none of which have cassette players. But this video that Rodney's going to make, I haven't even seen it yet. I listened to the audio again. This audio, along with, I'm sure, the very entertaining video that Rodney is going to put to it, is amazing. I absolutely love this message. It was so dramatic. You've heard me talk about this. You've heard me talk about this talk, but you've never heard the talk. This is the talk I gave in Berkeley, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, at an Israel Identity Church that got me kicked out of the church, but that also was the catalyst that called out a member of the body of Christ, and in fact, introduced a member of the body of Christ who didn't know she was a member of the body of Christ yet, introduced her to her own gospel. This is Martin Zender, and I'm speaking to you 25 years after the message that you are about to hear. I need to set the stage for you, for those of you who have never heard this, because this was dramatic first century drama. Yeah, it was not just drama, it was dramatic drama. So I was invited for several weekends in a row to Detroit to a church called the Restoration Bible Church, pastored by Jory Brooks. Now, this was an Israel Identity Church. I'm not sure if everybody knows what that is, but it's a church that they see themselves as some of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. They're descendants of literal Israelites. They very well might be. I'm not arguing that fact. I'm not arguing that at all. But the occupation of this church was to trace their genealogy. They had the Ten Commandments on the wall. They had maps of the Holy Land. They were obsessed with Israel, Israel, Israel. So you might ask, well, what was I doing up there? A man who teaches the gospel of Paul. That is the gospel of the circumcision. That's the gospel that is different than the gospel of the circumcision. Did I say circumcision or uncircumcision? You're going to get it all in this audio. Paul has a message to the nations called the gospel of the uncircumcision. It has to do with not having to cut the end of your favorite reproduction organ off. Peter had a message to the people who had to cut the end of their favorite reproduction organ off. So, I'm not going to go through it here because, again, I'm going to get all the details. I was there because, for some reason, churches like this, these Israel Identity Churches, I call them kingdom ministries, they tend to believe in the salvation of all. They call it the restoration of all things, which they shouldn't call it because that passage in Acts 3 doesn't refer to the salvation of all. But anyway, I was there teaching generally the salvation of all, and so was Dean Huff, on occasion. And Stephen Jones was up there. Now, Stephen E. Jones, he might have been there that day, that during this talk you're about to hear. They got me kicked out. He might have, well, not kicked out, but let's just say not invited back. He was there during one of my talks there. I don't know if this was the one, but I know Dean Huff was there and Tony Nungesser was there also. But I was invited up there, and I was starting to get tired of going up to Michigan every week. It was about a 3.5-hour drive. So I said, I'm just going to teach them the difference between justification and pardon. Now, pardon and forgiveness are the same things. They are the same things, but they're radically different from justification. I'm going to get into all that. So I just want to set the stage for you and leave the facts for the audio. So I thought I was nervous because I knew that I was going to say things that they were not going to like, because my key point was going to be that justification comes apart from law. Apart from law. I was getting ready to say apart from law about 497 times because Paul says it that many times. That's just in Romans chapter 3. And I knew they weren't going to like that because these people loved law. You have to understand that they're Israelites, or they think they're Israelites, or they all are Israelites. It doesn't matter to me, but they loved the law. They literally have the Ten Commandments on the wall and Israel map. So I knew they were not going to like it. But I needed to make this for my sin series. I needed to teach on the difference between pardon and justification. I needed to do it somewhere and sometime. So I picked this place. I figured, well, at least they'll never invite me back, and then I can stay home on Sundays and, you know, do something more recreational. But this was epic. I keep saying the phrase during the audio, you're going to hear this. I keep saying now, I'm referring to Israel in the third person. I have to say that to them because they, thinking they're Israelites, I was tempted to say, you Israelites, you people, you. But I said Israel. And I kept almost like apologizing for it, saying, well, I'm referring to Israel in the third person. As I began, now before this, they all loved me. Oh, they loved me. The old women would come up after my talks and kiss me. Oh, we love you. You're such a good teacher on the salvation of all. We love you. Men would shake my hands. Jory would, how many hands? Both hands? No, they shake my hand. Maybe some of them shook both of them if they were especially fond of me. And some of them were. Jory would invite me out to lunch after these sessions. But not this time. Not this time. I think I started to lose them. When you hear me bring up Matthew 6:14, that's when I sensed something changed. Something had turned. I quoted the passage, if you don't forgive men their offenses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your offenses. I said that because forgiveness is contingent upon you forgiving others. This is a scary thing. And I said, do you, this time I did point to him, do you live like this? Ooh. Do you live like this? If you believe in forgiveness and pardon, and that's the most you see, I mean, I believe in it too, but there's something higher, much higher than that, that doesn't relate to it at all, and that is justification. You're going to hear that. Ooh, there was dead silence. I gave a long pause, maybe for dramatic purposes, maybe to mop the sweat from my brow. I don't know, but it was, that's when it turned. I said, if you consider yourselves under law, and I'm sure I looked at them all there because I knew most of them, this is probably maybe my 10th time up there. If you consider yourself under law, then you ought to be doing these things. You ought to be sure to forgive everybody, or else God's not going to forgive you. You have to live with this being under probation and having that pardon able to be revoked if you don't extend it to other people. Ooh, I started to lose them at that point. You're going to hear it. And 10 minutes later, I started talking about apart from law. Okay, Romans 3. That really ticked them off. I knew at that point that I was not going to get invited to lunch. It's too bad because Jory took us to a nice restaurant always. Me and Dean and Tony. I think it was a buffet type place. I always remember getting steak. He couldn't eat shellfish. Jory couldn't eat shellfish. Couldn't eat bacon. Couldn't eat ham. Couldn't eat all that good stuff that we're able to eat. Oh, by the time I got to Romans 3:20, yes. By works of law, no flesh is justified in his sight. Ouch. And on I went. On I went. Romans 3:21. Yet now, apart from law, righteousness of God is manifest. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. And then when I got to Romans 4, I started talking about how God had used Abraham as a demonstration of faith, and that this was done before circumcision, while Abraham was an uncircumcision. In other words, it was done before there was such a thing as Israel. Ooh! They were squirming in their seats at that point. It kind of sounded like this. My camera, my microphone went like this. The whole room went like this. Started to quake. I thought I was in Philippi. Waiting for the Philippian jailer to bust in there. So I spent that second half of the talk trashing law. Oh, this bothered him a little bit. Galatians 3:10, whoever are of works of law are under a curse. That kind of upset him a little bit, yeah. Big earthquake. Then, toward the end, I told them, you need to let go. I shouldn't have told them this, because if they're true Israelites, if that's their calling, they should hold on to law. But I challenged them to let go of it. But instead, they let go of me. do we let go of law or do we let go of Zender? Well, it was unanimous. But the last 9 seconds of this audio are remarkable. The last 9 seconds, remarkable. This is what happened. After I finished, I thought I was nervous, but as I listened to this, this is a bold talk. I'm so pleased with this. Jory Brooks came up. And in the last 9 seconds, you're going to hear an exchange between Jory and me that is first century drama. He comes in, takes the mic, and he undoes everything I said. You'll hear in the last 9 seconds. He's really nice at first. Well, thank you, Martin, blah, 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 blah. And then in the last, like, maybe 1 second of what he was saying, he undid everything I said. Very subtly, but not really. And then in the last 2 seconds, I undid with one phrase everything he said. It is so, I've forgotten all about it. Rodney texted me and he said, Zender, I'm listening to this thing you made 25 years ago in April of 1996, and I think Jory Brooks has it wrong at the end. He's got it wrong. And I'm saying, what do you mean? And he told me about it, and then I remembered, oh yeah. I said, he does have it wrong, but I want that in. Rodney says, should I take that out? No, I want it in. This is an example of how the Israelites hate the truths of justification. The truth, well, the truths of justification and conciliation. So the greatest thing about this, one of the greatest things that has ever happened in my time as an evangelist of Paul's gospel. I finished. Jory undid me. I undid him. Whew, ready to get off the podium and go home and make my own lunch. When I saw a woman coming up to the podium, I thought, okay, here it comes. I'm going to really get berated now. Here it comes. She looked like a pleasant lady, though. Here she came, and she said, Zender? Yes? I just want you to know, I'm thinking, oh, well, here it comes, that I heard my gospel for the first time today. Oh, I get chills and I get emotional just to relate this, because this woman had an antenna for Paul's gospel. The example I always give is like a radio broadcast. She has an antenna for 92.1 FM, which is, in my analogy here, Paul's gospel, transcendent grace of God, justification and conciliation. But all she ever heard, I think she sat in that church for a year. All she ever heard was 1000 AM, which in my helpful little analogy here is the circumcision gospel, the Israel message. That's all she ever heard. And she didn't have a receiver for 1000 AM. She didn't have an AM receiver. Her radio didn't pick up the Israel gospel. She doesn't get anything AM at all. She just had that antenna for FM, but it was never broadcast. It was never broadcast. So for the first time in that church, the broadcast goes out and her antenna starts going, and you hear it crackling at first when it's coming in, like, and then clear as a bell. Her gospel, the gospel that she was chosen to hear from before the disruption of the world went forth, and she heard it, and she thrilled to it. It's like she floated up to the podium. She related to me later. I thought she was coming up to berate me. She was coming up to hug me and kiss me and thank me because... And she never went back to that church. She never went back. And to this day, 25 years, a little over 25 years later, she is still a staunch supporter of this work. Ladies and gentlemen, that is first century drama because it's the same thing Paul wrestled with in the first century, trying to keep his gospel clear of interfering truths like the circumcision truths. I'm not saying that those aren't truths. I'm just saying that they conflict with Paul and they need to be kept out. And I kept them out and I kept them out and I delivered a pure gospel. I delivered 91 point whatever I said right on the nose. I delivered on the nose and she heard it and changed her life. So that's the after story here. I wish all that would have been recorded. I wish I'd have left the microphone on. I really wish I'd have left the microphone on, but I didn't. So that's why I'm talking to you now. And now I commend this presentation to you. Truth is timeless. This truth is as true today as it was 25 years ago, as it was 2,000 years ago when Paul recorded it directly from the Holy Spirit of God.